This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
So many developments, so many news. A lot is happening on all fronts. Sometimes you sleep tired because of this country. You sleep like, phew, that's a lot. What's going to come tomorrow? What other pity is going to be on their way? If it's not in football, it's in politics, it's in religion, it's in business, it's everywhere that there is a pity. I mean, some people even still wondering, what does long leave mean for a chief justice that is going to be leaving that seat of power just at the end of October 2021? But we will try and see how that comes about. But now let's turn our attention to matters of football, and I'm joined by none other than the power sport anchor, Maskepe. How are you?
No, I'm very well.
You've been here anyway.
I've been here.
Yeah, you wake up before I do.
Long before most of the people who are listening here are up.
People of power, what time do you wake up? Maskepe is having a go at us. Maskepe, I mean, thank you for staying, man, to have this conversation with us. Finally, Safa appointed a coach for Banana. Oh, Bafana, sorry.
We have a coach. After...
Who is Hugo Boss? Some say.
Yeah, I saw someone saying that favorite cologne. Is Hugo Boss a cologne? I don't know.
Yeah.
Or is it a perfume?
It's a brand.
Or is it a fragrance?
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Hugo Bruce. And I think the one thing that stands up for him, for most South Africans, is that he's a 69-year-old.
And you keep emphasizing this. Why is it so important? Is he too old? What's the going age for coaches?
In the coaching circles, that can be a good thing. Yeah, the experience can always be a good thing. But
yeah,
it depends on... Because, I mean, I don't think that this is the man who is going to... So this is where I think sometimes the juxtaposition comes in and the differentiation comes in, that there's going to be a trainer. And then there's going to be a coach.
Yeah.
You know, and people like Hugo Bruce, and from where he comes from and the kind of coaching that they do, you know, he deals more with the tactics and the man management.
Okay.
And then that's why they would call them managers.
Yes.
And then there would be the actual coaching of a coach who will run around players at training and so on. But this one will just be there. Mostly what they do is that, you know, guys like yourself, Alex Ferguson, they would be there and observe. Men manage players, come with tactics, look at how players are doing in training, and then decide who plays. But we are coming from a different way of doing things.
Absolutely.
We're only transitioning to the manager role, where you still have a coach who is deep in training sessions and running after players and telling them, you know, this kind of things and so on. So that's where people are questioning the 69 years of this man to say that.
Whether he will be able to run after the players.
Because normally the assistant coach is the one who actually plans training sessions and how they go and so on.
Yeah.
But I think I was just highlighting the point that, you know, he's a 69-year-old. He's got a 5-year contract, and that's where the age factor comes
in. Wow, until 74 years of age.
That's the story there.
My goodness. Maskepe, but who is this fellow? I hear he's Belgian, but
he's Belgian.
What else don't we know about him that you do?
So he is a former footballer. He was a defender in his playing days. He actually played at the 1986 World Cup. The team that lost 2-0 to Argentina, in Mexico, when Maradona scored those two brilliant goals, he was part of that team.
Okay.
You know, he was alongside, you know, those great players like Frankie Vercauteren, used to be a top coach, still a top coach, I suppose. Enzo Schifo was also part of that team. So in terms of his playing career, top player in his days, and then transitioned to a coach, and I think he's a... brilliant years as a coach were in the early 90s.
Mm.
Because when he coached Club Bruges, he won 2 league titles. And then in Belgium, the club that Pesita was playing for, he won 2 titles with league titles with them. And then he won another title with Anderlecht. and then he left for Genk, and then so he's got three Belgian league titles.
And it's always nice when a coach changes teams and still then able to win something.
And then for me, the interesting one is where he is a four-time Belgian coach of the year. And it's with three different teams. Twice with Bruges when he won the league. Once with Anderlecht when he won the league. And then with Genk. But he didn't win the league there. But he did well with Genk.
Mm.
And for South Africans, they would remember him because this is the man who actually signed Anele Nconywa, the late Anele Nconywa, to Genk in 2007.
Okay.
That was Hugo Bruce.
That was him. Yeah. He had spotted that talent. So he clearly has always had his eyes on South Africa. He must be
I suppose you can say that.
He must be a happy man. People of power, it is 0861-987-000. Do you have faith in the head coach that has recently been appointed for Bafana Bafana? Maskepe, he also has experience in the continent, it seems, having taken Cameroon to some victory.
Yeah. And I mean, it must be said that in his first attempt, because that was the first time he was coaching in Africa, and he coached Cameroon, and first time of asking at the Africa Cup of Nations, he won it.
Wow.
This man. First time of asking.
So on paper, there's something to be attracted to.
Look,
here.
Look, I think, and this is a question that I was asking yesterday, that because there's this thing that goes around in South Africa that we call people plumbers.
Yes.
Coaches that are coming from Europe, and then we say that they don't know what they're doing, and then we call them plumbers. And I was asking a question to say that, why would you repel this man? Why would you reject him? Why would you say he's a plumber? What informs
that
this
notion
or postulation, whatever you can call it in your academic jargon?
You are subtweeting me live, Maskepe. What is this?
So I'm saying you look at the man. I mean, in 24 matches for Cameroon, he won 9. I mean, he won 10. He drew 9 and 5 losses. I mean, in South Africa, that's going to get him fired, of course.
Of course, there's no patience for such stuff.
There's no patience for such stuff. But, I mean, he did well at the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations. And the reason I say he did well at the Africa Cup of Nations in 2017, he took over there. He took Cameroon to the Africa Cup of Nations. And 7 of their top players refused to go play there.
Mm.
So imagine in South Africa, we are going to the AFCON. Okay, let's say 2010. We're going to play the World Cup. Tiko Modise, Piyo Tshabalala, Steven Pienaar, Itumeleng Khune. I don't know the other three players.
Yeah.
Big players say that we're not going. We're not going to play there. Just imagine that situation. That's what he faced, his first Africa Cup of Nations in Cameroon. And you had Joel Matip saying that I'm not going.
Wow.
Eric Maximin Choupo-Moting saying I'm not good.
And this should be another big
time,
and this
these
should
are
be
big players.
Your big players that you're building the team
top,
around.
Top players in Cameroon. I mean, Choupo-Moting was playing in Germany, as well as Joel Matip. They were both playing in Germany. And then Alan Nyom was playing in England for West Brom. And then you had Maximin Ponje playing in France for Bordeaux. Andre Onana was playing for Ajax in the Netherlands. Andre Zambo Anguissa, now playing for Fulham, he was also part of that team that said, we are not going there. And then there was also Ibrahim Amadou, who is, you know, who was with Lille at the time. They said they did not want to go to the AFCON. And this guy had to take youngsters.
And still win.
Youngsters that were not tested at the time. And he won AFCON. And let me tell you, it wasn't an easy win at the AFCON. And this is what I'm saying, that, you know, sometimes we have to look at the numbers and we have to look at the structures and we have to look at the men and how the men plays and how he managed to motivate the players. Because that's what you need from a national team coach or a coach for that matter. And people are going to say that, how did he win the AFCON? The man had to beat, in the quarterfinal stages, he had to beat Ghana. He had to beat Senegal. And in the final, he beat Egypt.
Mm.
Those are not Mickey Mouses.
Those are powerhouses in the
football.
Continent.
So
no
how
doubt.
Does this man do it?
Will he do it? If he did it in Cameroon,
he did it
in South Africa. Let's go to the line first before you respond to that. Jeff, good morning.
Morning, Lukona.
Are you good?
I'm not good, man. That guy. For me, that guy is old. 69 years. And you're going to take him for a long term of 5 years.
Mm.
And let me tell you, those are not... Those are West African teams, we know they produce talent always. And they always rise to the occasion. Yeah, in PSL, you're going to play for any PSL team. You're going to get well there. You'll have your GTI. You'll have your hotel. So life there, it's good there for you. So Cameroon players, they work hard to be where they are. And the language is also, it was also an advantage to them. Remember French and
coaches. He speaks English.
They speak. So it's quite good. So there will be an understanding there.
But Coach Hugo speaks English. So he's good.
Oh, he does speak English.
He does.
Okay.
We were in a press conference with him yesterday, and he was speaking English.
He was speaking English.
Yes.
Okay. But Maskepe, remember, the problem that I have with this guy. The problem that I have with this guy, Maskepe, is that...
age.
For me, it's age. And I think personally, to be honest, they should have given the job to Eric Tinkler.
Eric Tinkler. Okay,
Eric
Jeff.
Eric Tinkler should have been given that opportunity to coach the national team.
Why Eric Tinkler?
Available.
Why Eric?
Eric Tinkler has done well locally. And remember, even before Lefenseki was appointed, Eric Tinkler should have been appointed. Since when he did not able to get Benny, you are not able. We need someone who's going to hit the ground running.
Can we be honest for a second here?
Yes.
You are aware that Eric Tinkler almost relegated SuperSport United? And you are aware that Eric Tinkler almost relegated, Maritzburg United as well?
Well, Jeff, I get the point.
But let's be realistic. There was no Cape Town City without Eric Tinkler.
No, Jeff, I hear you. You are patriotic at heart, Jeff, in Pimville.
And this is not me.
Maskepe, you are going in hard on Jeff.
Look on, I want to put this point across because once you question these things, people say you don't want the man.
Yes.
You know, and I think we have to look at the positive side and the not so positive side. To have that proper balance to say, can this guy do it? I'm not saying that Eric Tinkler is not cut out or is not good enough to do the job.
No. Yes.
We look at his track. And this is the thing about coaching a national team. Unless you are going to take a chance on a man unproven, like other African teams, you know, national teams like Nigeria and Ghana have done with their legends, then that's fine. I'd be happy to take that route. Mm. But in South Africa, we've been so obsessed with numbers and stats and track records that if you are going to tell me about track records and so on, I'm going to ask you these things that, okay, this is a man that struggled. This is a man that got fired by Maritzburg United this season.
Yes.
And we are saying that he's good enough for Bafana Bafana. Of course, he did well at Cape Town City. Of course, he took Orlando Pirates to a Confed Cup final. Of course, he took a SuperSport United to a Confed Cup final. Lost both of them. But it's a feat to go there.
To go there and progress. Yes. I mean,
but
it's
I'm saying
quite a task.
On the balance of these two things, outweighs the other?
What do we want to out for? Vusigule raises something, Maskepe. He spoke about structures and numbers. He says, even I have faith in the coach. I don't have faith in Safa. There is no vision. He's 69 years old. The assistant coach should be a person that Safa grooms to be the next coach for the senior team. Safa always comes back when we talk about Bafana Bafana as the culprit, as the elephant in the room. Lack of leadership.
It's I always wonder if there is any permanent interest in football from the association.
Mm.
And when I say permanent interest in football, I mean people who day-to-day really care about the happenings and the, you know, running day-to-day of the organization.
Mm.
For me, it just sounds like people who only care about things when they say, oh, qualifiers are coming up. And they say, oh, yes, what can we do?
And that's the marker. And that's the marker of success. That's the KPI. Qualify for the AFCON.
Yes.
Qualify for the World Cup.
Because that's what Danny Jordan was talking about yesterday.
Mm.
That, oh, we qualified for the under-17 AFCON. But what did we do when we got there? We qualified for the... And this is, again, something that we must look at. And I will go back to the first caller.
Yeah.
I forgot his name.
Oh, Jeff.
Where he talked about the GTIs and what.
You get
and
wealth if you play in the PSL.
Do we put that on a coach? I don't think we can put that on a coach. We can put that on a societal problem in South Africa where at some point or at certain levels, there becomes less hunger to produce or to be better. Because you look at what he's talking about in the GTI question and so on. Yes, we see it. It's happening. And then you look at the Nigerian players and the Zimbabwean players that come into South Africa. and then they become more successful than our own players. Why? Because they want to, they know that for them to be here is an escape from something.
Mm.
And then here, my brother who plays for Kaizer Chiefs knows that even if I was not playing, I would still be fine because I'll go home, I'll open the fridge, there'll still be Paloni,
yep.
There'll still be Archer and so on, and I'll still be fine.
Okay, Maskepe, let's go on the line. Thabo, good morning.
Hi, Lukolo.
Are you good?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Go then. For it.
No, my comment is that the problem in South Africa is not the coaches. The players that we have are not good enough. I mean, you look at Pesita, supposedly South Africa's best player. He can't even make it in Brighton Albion.
Mm.
And if you look at countries like your Nigeria, I mean, look at Leicester City, they've got the Nigerian striker. They're all over the world in big teams. So I think our problem, even if we were to get Pep Guardiola, we're never going to achieve anything. These players are not good enough.
Tabo, thank you
very much. Good enough for the
PSG. Tabo, thank you very much. Players, Maskepe, let's just listen in and you'll respond. Okay. Simon, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Well.
Yes, yes. My point is that age is not a factor here.
Mm.
It's experience that counts. The coach doesn't run around in the field. He's just coaching the guys and telling them about tactics and strategies.
Mm.
So Maskepe mustn't talk about age. I'm 65. I'm still working, and I'm training guys to become engineers, and I'm doing that. What I'm doing is some of the things that are not in the textbook.
He touched you on your studio, Simon.
Simon, but again,
I mean, I'm doing that, and then I'm telling you. They are good engineers now, eh?
But Simon, I gave you both sides of the coin. I didn't say that this guy can't do it because he is 69 years old. I explained the context of why South Africans are feeling...
You always talk about age. Age is important. Joe Biden is 76 and is running one of the biggest countries on the continent in the world.
And I'm not disagreeing with you, Simon. I'm saying I was giving context to South Africans who are feeling uneasy at the fact that this man is 69 years old and has been given...
What's wrong with you, 69? Tell me.
Okay, Simon.
No, not me, Simon. No. Not me.
Simon.
I'm saying South Africans. South Africans are saying this man is 69. He's been given a 5-year contract.
Yeah.
Does it speak to the vision that we have as a country to say we want
but
to go forward?
But this is where Vusi's point comes in, that
about
you can
the
pair them
yes.
with an assistant.
And that is and what we're going Coach Mangoba Mngithi was saying yesterday, that if we are saying that this man is going to bring a scarce resource here,
yeah.
and he is bringing what South African coaches don't have, then we must put in a local assistant who will learn from this man, and then with a view of going forward, this man absorbs something.
Talking
from
about
Hugo
scarce
Bruce.
Resources and scarce skills, we once went to Brazil at a very exorbitant price ahead of the 2010 World Cup.
But we've got Pizzo Mosimane out of that.
Okay, so is that a positive?
It was a positive because Coach Pizzo
today. But would you say Pizzo is a product of that pairing, or he?
Yes,
boxed
he says
enough.
It himself. He says it himself that a whole lot of what he knows today is down to what he learned from Carlos Alberto Pereira.
Okay.
Obviously, not Santana. No. Leave Santana.
I must leave Santana.
No, leave
oh,
that
okay,
guy.
Okay. I was leave talking about guy. Santana at
no,
first.
No, leave that guy. Pizzo, okay. On many occasions when I spoke to Coach Pizzo Mosimane, he does acknowledge that his success, the beginning of it, he credits
Pereira.
It to Carlos Alberto Pereira.
No,
that he learned
that
a lot.
That we could take. Maskepe, let's pay the bills. You know, the lights must be on Friday when you're doing your show.
Send us a WhatsApp message on 083-303-7093.
Good morning, guys. This is Demba from Rustenburg, man. Look, man, I have got a problem with many of the football supporters. They are full of emotions. Some of them, they don't even understand you, what football is or how the work that is involved in coaching a team. That coach that they are blaming simply because he's not a South African or because of old age, of which he is not that age. But he might be the one to take, the team to another level. You know, South Africans have got a problem. Remember when Stuart Baxter was coming to coach Kaizer Chiefs. The Kaizer Chiefs supporters and the rest of the supporters, they were making a lot of noises. They said he was not going to make it because he has got fake qualifications. But look at what Stuart Baxter achieved at Kaizer Chiefs. I mean, South Africans, they must grow up. Thanks, Maskepe Stemba from Rustenburg.
what do we want to...
Morning, Lukona and Maskepe. My question is, What was the job spec, or what is the job spec for a Bafana coach that Safa has put out there? Because I think that will solve most of the questions that you guys are putting out there, that people are wondering, why this coach, why not this coach? It's about the job spec. What did the job spec say? Did you guys get a look at it? Can you please explain? Because I've never seen a job profile for a coach at Safa. So can you please just explain that for us, Maskepe? Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Let's go to the line quickly so that we try and get in as many people. Gift, good morning.
Morning, Lukon. How's it?
I'm well. Short and sweet.
Lovely. Two things from me. I've got no problem with the new coach. I've got a problem with Safa, an organization that has a president, four deputy presidents, and about 33 NEC members. No background of football, nothing. No plan whatsoever. Even the president of the country doesn't have four deputy presidents.
Yeah.
A football federation has four presidents, deputy presidents.
Okay, Gift. I get the point you're making there.
And then the second one is to Maskepe. What's the difference between appointing a 69-year-old Hugo Broos and a 74-year-old Clive Barker? The reason I'm asking that is because Clive Barker is the only local coach that has done anything for us. He has never been given an opportunity again, but Mashaba was given a second opportunity. Carlos Alberto Carrera was given a second opportunity.
Gift, Stuart, I got Carter you. Was given I got you. Matsibe, morning. Go for it. Short and sweet.
Lukon, first of all, let me say thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say something to Maskepe. I think Bob Mabena used to say Maskepe must go deeper and deeper. And I don't think he's doing enough of that for the Power FM. Let me tell you something. First of all, he said Coach Eric Kinga doesn't deserve to be the Bafana coach.
No, you didn't say
I
that.
Never said that. I never said that.
I know you.
Okay, go
no,
for
no,
it.
No. I think we need to be honest. I never said that.
Wait, Matsibe, go for it.
No, you can't accuse me wrongly in my presence and not want me to defend. I never said that.
Okay, listen, Maskepe. You said that, and then you said
me.
Okay, Matsibe wants to carry on with that line. No. Mwekezi, let me pull you through to round this one off.
Thank you, Lukona. I think I support Maskepe's context in terms of what is the history of the coach. But I have a serious problem in terms of the leadership at Safa. But I also want Maskepe to give us some sort of an insight between the media briefing of the CEO and the president of Safa around the current coach and the former coach.
But okay.
There was a discourse.
A bit of disagreement there.
Yes.
Okay, Mwekezi, I got you. Let's go to Thomas White. I think Maskepe will keep you for 2 minutes after that.
The station for news and talk. Power 98.7 on 103.6 in the south of Johannesburg, 104.4 in the Vaal, and 107.2 in Ekurhuleni. Now, we're talking.
Well, indeed, we are talking. Let us wrap up this conversation with Maskepe Matsibane on Safa and the Bafana Bafana coach. Maskepe, you listen to some of those. Leave the accusations. You... you didn't say you don't want Eric Tinkler. In fact, you also didn't say you disapprove of the
Never.
Age factor on Bruce.
You put perspective and context, and people still miss it. Anyway, so for me, it's just a couple of things. Let me speak mostly to what Bafana Bafana needs, because we know that Safa is just a rotten potato that really you can't fix it at this point unless the people who are there really leaves. Because I had a proper boxing match with Teboho Motlanthe the other day when Danny Jordan actually was absent when they fired Muli Fintseki on TV and they didn't even tell him that he was fired.
Oh, wow.
And anyway, they've actually rescinded that the firing of Fintseki, but they are trying to get him a position within this technical team. And I'll tell you that Hugo Broos in the interview actually asked them that, why did you fire the previous coach? Because the guy did not do bad. He was actually doing well, but you fired him. Why? And Hugo Broos said that if he is to come in as the head coach of Bafana Bafana, he wants Muli Fintseki as the assistant coach.
But is that going to work?
He can make it work. Safa will just have to bury the hatchet with Ntseki. But is Ntseki prepared to bury the hatchet
with Safa,
following the how humiliated he was being fired on TV? I don't know. But I'm saying, you are looking for Bafana. People are asking, what are we looking for in a Bafana Bafana coach?
Yes.
You are looking for a disciplinarian. And I'm saying this because We've had so many situations where overseas-based players would come here and disrespect our coaches, especially the local coaches. Sheikh Mashaba experienced that. Owen Dagama experienced that. Gordon Igisend experienced that. Now Mulifintseki experienced that.
In fact, some say Bafana Bafana is where coaches go to die with their careers.
Yes. Now, you need a disciplinarian, someone who is going to go there and put these players not in their places, but make them understand that they are there because there is a responsibility they have towards the nation, which is what Stuart Baxter tried to drill into the players. He failed in other ways, but he almost got it right in other ways. And you need a coach with great tactical acumen. The argument that South Africans...
And the player situation.
I was going there. The argument that South Africa doesn't have the players, I think we do. If we can beat an Egypt... And if we can beat a Spain, then it means that we've got players who can actually compete. What I'm saying is that the Comoros have qualified for the Nations Cup.
Yeah.
They don't have the kind of players we have. Gabon, before Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, didn't have the kind of players that they have. And you've got other nations like your Zambia and so on. And you look at players pound for pound, we can match them. Now, what we need is a coach with who will make sure these players are well-disciplined, who will have the tactical acumen. Mm. And with this coach, some of the questions that will be asked will be to say that, how quick is he going to be able to learn the players that we have?
Maskepe, I hear the argument you're making about having good players, the type of player that is probably needed. But when you look at stats such as like top goal scorers, and you look at the number of goals people score in the Premier Soccer League, it doesn't inspire the greatest of confidence.
No,
that
it
we've
doesn't.
Got big goal bangers. You know, I think, when was it? Ombe Suma used to score serious goals.
That's
he wasn't
true.
Even South African. So on that front, how are we doing?
But national team football is different. You had a Bongani Ndulula who was not scoring at his club, but he was scoring for Bafana Bafana. You know, national team football is always a different kettle of fish, I'm telling you.
Mm.
That you can have a player who is not scoring at look at a Themba Zwane, for example. At Mamelodi Sundowns, he is always in fantastic form, and then he goes to Bafana Bafana, you don't really see much of him. And I don't want to go to the argument of saying that some players are national team players and then some
and
are not.
Some are,
which I don't subscribe to
level.
That. Mm. But I'm just saying that even with form, you've got players who go to the national team and they don't fire as much as they do at club level or vice versa. So for me, I'm saying Bafana Bafana players or local players, even overseas players with the right kind of confidence, with the right kind of coaching, I don't see why they can't compete. Of course, I don't expect them to win the World Cup because, I mean, the talent disparities, the qualities, the support and so on is just miles ahead from what your Frances and your Belgium have. And also, the other problem that we have in South Africa is that Belgium has got a blueprint of how from junior national teams up to the national team at the highest level, how they will play. Mm. France has a blueprint. Germany has a blueprint. There is a proper conveyor belt to say that from the under 15, under 17, under 21, until the senior national team, this is how we are going to play as a national team. In South Africa, we don't have that. Carlos Queiroz came first and suggested that. It's there at SAFA. It has a lot of dust.
Maskepe, before I let you go, Sipo just wants to hear on the caller about Percy Tau.
Percy Tau, look, I'm going to say that he got there at a different time. It's quite difficult. And there are players who are doing better than him at Brighton. And I don't think that speaks to the ability of Percy Tau as a player, because we saw him what he did in Belgium with three different teams.
Okay.
And for me, I would say that this is a lesson for South Africans as well, to say that sometimes we rush in trying to get our players to certain teams. And maybe if Percy Tau went to a France, you know, play for a Lyon, a Marseille,
we would see a different story.
Maybe he
Maskepe
will
Matsiban,
improve.
Let me make you step aside. Please step aside. Thank you very much for joining us on the developments on the Bafana Bafana coach. Hugo Broos appointed the Belgian coach. Now on matters of step aside, we are going to turn to Mr. Tony Yengeni, who is ANC National Executive Committee and National Working Committee member, just shortly.
When you need up-to-the-minute news.
Exa has suspended the low-cost airline Mango from using its airports. The Mango airline is a subsidiary of state-owned South African Airways.
There's only one place to get it. Power 98.7. Now, we're talking.
Indeed, we are talking. It is 21 minutes to 12 here on Power Talk. And we do know this step-aside issue has gripped many around the country. And hopefully now we'll hear from a person who is part and parcel of the structures. Mr. Tony Engen, good morning, Hlathi. Welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning.
Thank you for making the time. I suppose you were attending the last National Working Committee meeting. I think I want to start off and say, in principle, how many names were submitted to the National Working Committee? And of those names, how many people voluntarily stepped aside?
Well, no names were presented to the National Working Committee. So, but I do know for a fact that most branches or regions and provinces, if not all of them, have submitted names to the Secretary General's office.
Yes.
But those names were not tabled at the meeting.
How were they not tabled at the meeting if the meeting then took a decision on what should happen to the people affected by the step-aside resolution?
Exactly the point that we're making, that if the names were not tabled, were not discussed and agreed to, what is the basis of certain letters to certain comrades and not to all comrades whose names appear on those lists?
You were in that National Working Committee, Mr. Yengeni. Absolutely quite mind-boggling. When you raised this issue in the meeting, what was the sentiment? Who pushed back? Why is it that it was never resolved in the meeting?
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.